Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What's going down? Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon without the ads or on our main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you today?
Kenny, yeah, I'm all right. How's yourself?
Good, yeah. There's a bit of sun outside, which is, you know, and it's not dark at 4 o'clock anymore, which is nice. I think when it's light till after five, you start to feel like there's light at the end of the tunnel. The winter is leaving us, which is good. So
let's face it, it's been pretty mild, hasn't it? Apart from that really bad part, there was like a really cold spell at the beginning of December. Apart from that, it's actually been all right.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's usually a last ditch thing late February, early March. That's when the latest kind of bad bit of weather is. But I mean, to be honest, for me, as long as it's light later, I'm happy because then you can take the dogs out later, you can do more. So, before you know it, it'll be light at 9 o'clock at night. So
exactly, Kenny. Absolutely.
But anyway, we're here to talk about the wrestling. Obviously, we talked about the big press conference, the kickoff on Thursday. So on SmackDown on Friday, Triple H was on the show. He came out first. We had Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis in the ring, and he said that basically he kind of referenced The Rock and said, you know, he's the man in charge. He's the people. He's the person the answers come from. It doesn't matter who you are, who else tries to assert their authority. So we dig at The Rock there, and then he passed the mic over to Nick Aldis, who said that it was time to discuss who's going to face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, and his challenger is going to be determined at Elimination Chamber, but there's going to be qualifying matches. Adam Pearce announces all the people because they're going to be Raw and SmackDown people in those chamber qualifiers, and we're going to have the first one right now with Drew McIntyre and AJ Styles. What did you make of Triple H on the show as a follow-up to the day before?
Not Triple H, Kenny. Paul Triple H Levesque.
Sure. Yes, for semantic purposes.
Get that title right.
Yes, Mr. Levesque.
Next thing you'll be calling, you know, the Young Bucks, Nick and Matt Jackson. You can't do that.
Well, I've been trying my best to continue calling them Matthew and Nicholas, but, you know, It's a working pro. Do you remember how long it took us to stop calling Bryan Danielson Daniel Bryan?
Oh,
that was tough.
Oh, and you know what? He's not long for AEW, and you know where he's going. You know his destination, and you know what that means? Name change. So we'll have to start again. I don't know. But anyway, getting back to your question, yeah, I thought it was, it felt like a very big start to the show, didn't it? I mean, this episode of SmackDown drew 2.578 million viewers. I think that was the highest viewing figures in like 6 months or something.
Yeah, I think August was the last time they got a number that high.
Yeah, I mean, the previous week had actually, you know, I think the previous weeks had done well as also 2.469 million viewers. So there was a hell of a lot of interest, obviously, after the kickoff event had occurred. So they were really building on that here. I mean, it felt good that they had, you know, Adam Pearce there, Nick Aldis there. I mean, these guys aren't getting on much at the moment, are they, Kenny?
No.
What I mean? They're on the road constantly. And it feels like, you know, it feels like it's all hands on deck. You know, that's a bit of a WWE cliche. And I apologize for that. And yeah, so the confirmation was that, you know, Roman Reigns will be defending the Undisputed title against Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, you know, just to eliminate any confusion over what may or may not have been arranged or decided or announced. And yeah, I mean, it was good that they just got the word out there that Elimination Chamber will be used to determine Seth Rollins' opponent at WrestleMania. I mean, and understandable as well that they would make such a production out of spelling this out, Kenny, because it had been a bit of a weird 2 weeks, hadn't it? Let's be honest.
Yes, it's constantly changing. Because I think the thing is, the thing that people are, and I understand that the one thing that doesn't really make sense, the whole angle that we've had, and you know, even on Raw, it didn't really make sense. We've not really heard why Cody Rhodes was going to step aside. That is a kind of big plot point that we've not really heard the answer to. So that makes me think there was changes made to what was going to happen. We also saw Punk got injured at the Rumble. That was another change. But, you know, they've pivoted. I hope we do get the answers to why Cody changed his mind, even if it wasn't the plan. Because remember last year, there was the whole thing of why did Brock Lesnar attack Cody? And we just never really got an answer as
no,
to why
didn't.
That happened. And, you know, I know they're doing well and everything, but, like, you know, you shouldn't really be leaving gaps that big in the storylines. And there was the one last year with Brock and Cody. And now, if Cody was going to step aside, I think you do need to kind of hit that in a promo as to why was he going to step aside? Why did he change his mind?
Yeah. I mean, the explanation to me is it was a setup all along between Cody and Rock. That to me should be the explanation. You know, the day after WrestleMania on the Raw after WrestleMania, after the Rock turns heel on the turns face on the Bloodline and sides with Cody Rhodes. That's how I think this story is going to play out. And if that does indeed happen, then that will be the explanation. They were in cahoots all along.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's explained, you know, it doesn't need to be explained today, but, you know, we never got the explanation for the Brock thing, so hopefully for this one we do. But I think it was a good idea to Triple H in the show. You know, he had the little dig at Triple H at The Rock, and, you know, but at least we know Triple H is not getting back in the ring, so you don't have to worry about people hoping that that's going to be a match.
That's it, another 35-minute Triple H match. We don't need to worry about that again.
No,
and, you
no
know,
sense.
They've already announced, haven't they, Roman Reigns and Rock for this Friday's SmackDown. So watch that number go even higher this week.
Yeah, because later on in the show, Heyman comes in and interrupts Braun Breaker and Triple H having a conversation, and he says that he'll be here next week to speak to Triple H along with Roman Reigns and The Rock. And then next week's also a double taping, so you could end up using The Rock twice if you wanted to. So, yeah, I mean, it's... And then obviously there was the WrestleMania trailer that WWE put out on their YouTube channel, I think it was yesterday or Sunday? Sunday or yesterday, anyway. And basically, the video is Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes face-to-face, eye-to-eye with The Rock and Roman Reigns. So we know it's a tag match now. You can't really have any ambiguity about it anymore. It is a tag match that's going to happen. So, you know, I mean, I guess if they are doing that tag match, I like the idea that we're not having to wait a month for The Rock to come back and start kind of, you know, building anticipation. I think he should be there every couple of weeks on the way to WrestleMania if this is going to be the main event of one of the nights. So I hope, and if he's going to embrace the heel Rock persona, that could be a lot of fun as well. Hollywood Rock is pretty fun.
He's going to. I'm convinced he will do. He'll be there in the Bloodline, you know, dressing room, you know, is he going to be happy with the, you know, with the catering? Is he going to be happy with the decor? Probably not. You know, but then will we have Roman Reigns? I'm curious to see when the dissension begins between Rock and Roman Reigns. Obviously, this Friday would probably be too soon. I did suggest I think last week, oh, we need to start that. No, not yet, Finlay. Give them a chance. They need to needs to be harmonious for a while. But I think there's going to be some subtle hints dropped, yeah, maybe later in the month, and if not, certainly March, that all is not as it seems. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Rock and Reigns together as heels in the ring on SmackDown. And I think that's going to be it's going to be quite a moment seeing those two together. And it'd be interesting to see as well also how Rock is dressed. Is he going to wear, you know, continue to wear the muscle dress? Sorry, the muscle shirt? Or is he going to dress in a different, you know, attire?
Yeah, it will be interesting because he's not going to be the follower to Roman Reigns. So the dynamics should be pretty fun. And I do think if they're double taping next week, they should absolutely have him on both shows. There's no reason not to.
I agree.
Elsewhere on the show, we did have a few other things. We had Bianca Belair beating Misha in the most obvious Elimination Chamber qualifier outcome of the year. Pure Misha didn't stand a chance.
But no.
We did have Bayley come out. She wanted to talk about, obviously, you know, the fact that she chose Io Sky, but it ends up Dakota Kai comes out, and she ends up saying, you know, asking Bayley why she's not been answering her texts. And Bayley, you know, just doesn't trust her. She does ask her to tell her where she stands. And then Io interrupts, comes out with Kairi and Asuka. And Dakota kind of gets out the way, leaves Bayley on her own. And then Dakota gets a chair and gets in the ring. And she ended up helping Bayley clear damage control out of the ring. Crowd were chanting for them to hug, but they didn't. This was a nice sort of tangent and side wrinkle for them to go on for a couple of weeks until inevitably Dakota Kai, you know, was in with damage control all along and turns on Bayley, we assume.
Well, maybe. I mean, possibly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Dakota Kai does end up with Kairi and Asuka and Io Sky, I mean, she could be their spokesperson. So maybe that's the reason why she'll be with them. Maybe that would be the explanation why she did that. And in a way, that would be, you know, very practical for her to turn on Bayley so she could do most of the talking for the other three. And yeah, maybe that will be it. Because, I mean, there's a lot of very obvious title changes coming at WrestleMania. And this Bayley Io Sky one also seems quite obvious. And you would think ordinarily Bayley would defeat Io Sky. But if Dakota Kai costs her the match, then, you know, that would protect Bayley, wouldn't it? And, you know, also, I don't think people would say, oh, WrestleMania is a disaster because Bayley didn't win the belt. Obviously, I think most people would say that WrestleMania would be a total flop if Cody Rhodes doesn't end Roman Reigns' title run. But I don't think that many people are really sort of hung up on Bayley having to win the belt there. So, yeah, maybe you're right, Kenny. Maybe that is how it will play out. And Dakota will, because here, of course, she sided with Bayley, saved her from Kairi, Asuka and Io with a chair, and people were chanting, hug it out. But Bayley, you know, and Dakota weren't ready to go that far yet. I mean, let's not rush the story. Maybe that'll be next week or a week after. I'm not sure. But yeah, you could have something there, Kenny. Maybe Dakota Kai is going to double cross Bayley in the big match at WrestleMania.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, and I think also for Bayley, I wouldn't say she should be worried, but I do think that she's probably one of the people where if they decide there's too many title changes and they want to not do one, she might be the one that doesn't get it at WrestleMania. But
Yeah,
we'll see.
but also look at the story. If she defeats Io Sky at WrestleMania, that's kind of the end of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, as long as there is a story to, like you say, if it's Dakota turning on or whatever, there's something that is interesting. I do wonder eventually who's going to have Bayley's back. I assume it's going to be Naomi and maybe somebody else, because you'll probably need to do multi-women matches after WrestleMania to kind of even the odds, but we'll see who that ends up
Yeah.
being.
Yeah, I mean, this is an obvious spot for Sasha Banks, but it looks like she's heading to AEW.
Yes, Mercedes is going to be making her debut on March 13th in their Boston show. So, I should mention as well, we've got two Elimination Chamber, men's Elimination Chamber advancements, because Drew McIntyre beat AJ Styles in the opener, and Randy Orton beat Sami Zayn in the main event. And then afterwards, Drew was kind of staring down Randy Orton. What did you make of these two matches and the, I would say, fairly obvious results of who was going to go through?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think Drew versus AJ Styles was the better of the two matches. LA Knight was on commentary and he had some interaction with AJ Styles. There was obviously serious friction there, and it was a distraction from Knight, which really cost Styles the win in the match storyline that they told. Styles had Drew pinned as the referee was preventing Knight from entering the ring, and then Styles was yelling at Knight, and then turned round, and Drew hit a surprise claymore for the 1-2-3. So yeah, Drew was obviously going to win the match because to me, he feels like it's really got to be him versus Rollins at WrestleMania. It's got to be, but Drew's got to sign that contract extension first. And as for Randy Orton versus Sami Zayn, I'm gonna say Kenny was expecting more from this match. I think Orton won quite easily. The most surprising thing about the match, and they did mention this on commentary, was that Orton did a top rope superplex. So, I mean, the back must be in pretty good shape to do a
Yeah,
move like that. That's quite a bump.
he eased himself back in, but now he seems to be going full force. I think part of the reason for me that the Sami Zayn stuff, it's not bad, it's decent enough, but I think he's quite cold as a baby face at the moment, and he's quite kind of low down the list of people. So I think if this was Sami Zayn of 9 months ago in this position, I think people would be way more into it. But Orton's a hotter act because he's come back recently. Guys at LA Knight are hotter than him. So, yeah, I don't really know what they do with Sammy. I think you are probably right that I think if Drew doesn't re-sign, he might be facing Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. That might be something that
Yeah.
they're setting up, because on SmackDown and Raw, they're really going for the idea that Sami Zayn is kind of down in his luck, which seems like it's going to lead somewhere, but we don't really know where that is. But
Heel turn. That's where it's going to lead. I predicted this some months back. Jumped the gun on that one, but yeah, he's going to turn. Zayn will turn, if not before WrestleMania, I think, on the Raw after WrestleMania, possibly on Cody Rhodes.
there you go. You've heard it here first. Let's move on to Raw, because there was loads of stuff on Raw last night in Lexington, Kentucky. We opened the show with a six-man tag of Imperium against Jey Uso and the New Day. And the crowd were very into this match. They were very into Jey Uso, who ends up getting the win here by pinning Vinci. And we find out later that's going to lead to Jey Uso and Gunther next week. So we talked about when is that match going to happen. Have they managed to get Gunther's passport sorted out? But Paul Levesque didn't have time to go to the passport office, Finn. He was too busy in Vegas with The Rock. So the match is going to be on Raw next week instead.
That's it. He didn't go down there and sit there all day and in Liverpool or wherever it is, America's equivalent of the passport office, to sort it out. And yeah, it feels like this match would have taken place at Elimination Chamber if Gunther could have gone there, doesn't it?
Yeah, for
It
sure.
sort of feels too big for TV, this match, and maybe Jay versus Gunter will be a non-finish. I would be fine with that, by the way. And I thought this six man started really well, and then it sort of took a different direction when it came down to Jay versus Gunter. And Gunther was hilarious here as a heel, just doing all the heel stuff just to make Jay shine and just backing off and avoiding him and then finally wrestling him and then just mocking the crowd. And it was really funny. And then in the end, of course, it was Jay who had to win because, as we now know, Jay is going to face Gunther next week on Raw. So Jay then pinned, as you said, Giovanni Vinci. But yeah, this match was a barrel of laughs, loads of fun. I think, you know, quite, you know, some lighthearted moments and, you know, some serious stuff as well. And yeah, Jay versus Gunther, I'm really looking forward to the match. But I would actually urge WWE, you know, to give us a non-finish here. Non-finish we want. Because Jay, there's no way Jay should be doing jobs on TV just before us.
I mean, the thing is, what could happen is it could be that he's about to win the Intercontinental title and Jimmy Uso costs him. Maybe that's the setup to their WrestleMania program, which we assume is going to happen.
Yeah. That'll be fine. As long as there's some sort of distraction or interference or, you know, it needs to be a tainted win for Gunther. You know, it can't be a clean win like the Kofi match. I don't really did Kofi any favours at all 2 nights after Raw Rumble.
No, I'm with you. We also had an Elimination Chamber qualifier with Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed, and Bobby Lashley won this one, but you kind of feel a bit sorry for Bronson Reed because the Chamber's going to be in Australia, his home turf, but you know, maybe they didn't want to put him in there because they thought he was going to get too much of a reaction in his home country, but I felt quite bad for him that he didn't get in.
Well, you would, you know, you sort of hope that Bronson Reed and Grayson Waller have roles on the show, don't you?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I mean, you know, Rhea's obviously on the poster and she's a bigger star than either, so that's fair enough. But Bronson Reed and Grayson Waller, I don't know what they're going to do, but hopefully they'll do something on the show. I mean, what about the video of Bronson on the way to the ring looking like King Kong smashing all the buildings?
Hopefully he does have a role, and even if it's him against Grayson Waller, put them in a match, you know. It's...
Well, yeah, exactly. Let the audience decide who's the face. I think it'd be Bronson, and that could even be his face turn. I mean, yeah. I think he's a likable guy. I don't really feel like he's going to go much further as a heel, but as a face, maybe he could really take off. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this match actually was really well received. I thought the action was good. Fans were so into it. And, you know, in the end, Lashley scored the pin. And that was the right outcome as well. So, obviously, B-Fab is now a member of Bobby Lashley's crew. So that was a long time coming. I know that last week, wasn't it? The final Testament angle when she kicked Scarlett, wasn't it? Was that last week? It was, wasn't it?
It was recently. I find that as soon as something happens between Karrion Kross's crew and Bobby Lashley's crew, it immediately leaves my brain. It's like my brain says this isn't important enough to retain. So in 6 months, you could say, who was the female member of Bobby Lashley's crew? And it would take me a while to remember it was B-Fab.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave any lasting memory.
No.
When there's so much wrestling, you can only really retain so much stuff. And, you know, maybe B-Fab's inclusion is just below the list. But another big thing we had on Raw was Cody Rhodes came out for a promo and he, you know, talked about how he's not going to get emotional because that would make him a crybaby. And then, you know, people are chanting Rocky sucks. And he said that, you know, he basically said he was going to hit The Rock back. He showed a clip of the Pat McAfee show when Rock had talked about the Cody crybabies and talking about the nuggets that, you know, these Cody crybabies are eating and then they're shoving them up their ass. And he's asking Pat McAfee, you know, what am I supposed to do with these nuggets? And Pat's like, I think you're supposed to shove them up your ass. And basically Cody says, you know, you slapped me in public when I didn't do anything to, you know, defile you. So, you know, it was malevolent and you hit me, which means I'm going to have to hit you back. And then Seth Rollins comes out and he does this big speech about, you know, Cody thanks him first of all. And then, you know, he says, yeah, I know you've got to finish your story, Cody. But, you know, you're not just going to be dealing with Roman Reigns, you're going to be dealing with the whole bloodline, including, you know, The Rock, and offers to stand beside him and says, you know, he'd be suited to being Cody's shield. He was an architect, now he's a visionary. And he basically says he would have Cody's back, and that's the way that we end the segment. So the seeds of this tag team match continue to build.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, Cody Rhodes talked about, you know, upcoming match, and you know, the deck stacked against you even worse this time, you know, because Rock will be in Reigns' corner. So yeah, Rollins said to him, you know, what's your plan? You got screwed last year. And he could have mentioned there everyone's got screwed in basically every title defense that Roman Reigns has made. Yeah, I mean, Rollins said, you do not have to fight this battle alone. Rollins said that he was uniquely suited to be Rhodes' shield. I mean, I wonder how long it took him to come up with that line. I thought that was kind of cheesy, really, Kenny. Uniquely suited to be Rhodes' shield. But I mean, there's a lot of goodwill at the moment towards these two people. So even though the line wasn't that great, people did react to it. And yeah, I mean, I think Rollins, lots of people were saying, well, Seth looked like, you know, B-plus player at the kickoff event last week. And some people were even saying that The Rock outshone everyone, which I suppose to an extent he did because he's a bigger real-world star. But I thought Rhodes and Reigns, you know, more than held their own. And when it was their time to step up and say their lines, people really did react to them. And Rollins was there in, like, you know, a minor role, a supporting role, wasn't he? He couldn't have, if he tried to take a larger role than he did, it wouldn't have made any sense.
No.
So, I mean, it's, you know, in a sense, it was time for Rollins to step up here and really exert or assert his authority. And like, I'm here for you, Cody. I can be a big part of this. I can help you counteract all these, you know, outside influences or distractions or, you know, run-ins from other people. So, you know, he stepped up and, you know, offered to have Cody's back in this big match. And I think he will be involved, you know, on the night. But, I mean, I'm sticking with my prediction, Kenny, that it's going to be The Rock in the end who really, you know, costs Reigns the title. Not in such a way that it looks like Cody doesn't win it fairly, but, I mean, in a way where he's not cheating to help Reigns win.
Yeah. I almost wonder if, because I think that probably will happen, but I think that, because obviously Seth has been kind of used a bit as a punching bag in this feud, you know, essentially his title's worthless, but I think that one of the ways they could kind of help him is I would give him the pin on night one in the tag match, because, you know, Cody's going to get it the next night, he doesn't need it, and if you're going to set up somewhere the Rock and Reigns implode, you know, it'd be a nice moment for Seth to get. His character is, I don't love Seth Rollins' character. It's just not my kind of character. But I think when he gets serious, he's good, and he's obviously a great wrestler. But yeah, yeah. I think giving him the pinfall in night one would be a nice way to, you know, sort of repay him being the clear and by a country mile number four in this scenario.
Well, I can't see Reigns and Rock doing. I can't see Reigns losing two matches on two straight nights. So I don't think that's going to happen. And in many ways, I think Rock and Reigns have to win because Cody needs to have that, you know, uphill battle thing going on. You know, the insurmountable odds that there's no way he can overcome them. And then when he does on the night, he looks even more heroic. So I have to disagree with that booking suggestion there, Kenny.
Well, there
I'm
you
afraid.
Go. We'll see who's laughing last after WrestleMania 4.
We will. But I'm with you on Rollins. Rollins needs, you know, he needs, in some ways, I think if Drew does re-sign, and really Drew needs to let WWE know if he's serious now, between now and Elimination Chamber. Doesn't he? He's got
it. Well, they need to be like, here's the final date. You know, yeah. If you don't re-sign by this date. This, I mean, but we're going to know if he wins. To me, if he's re-signed, he's winning the chamber.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win the chamber, then he's not re-signed. He's the clear guy who you think is going to win it. And yeah, I hope he does. I hope he does re-sign. I think he's been doing really well, and long may it continue.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you'd be a fool to leave. I mean, given what he's got going right now with the T-shirt sales, you know, the character is never been better. You know, he's in his prime physically still. He can still do everything. He knows how to do everything. He can play any character. And, you know, he can be champion for many, many months post-WrestleMania. So, you know, if Drew were to leave right now for AEW, I would just be like, I'd just have my head in my hands, to be honest, Kenny. But I mean, it's his decision.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, if he did leave, selfishly, I'd be happy to get a tour with him. But that's not a reason for him to leave, you know. But we'll see.
You're actually rooting for him to leave, aren't you?
I am.
Be honest.
I'm rooting for him to leave for a short period of time, so I can do a tour with him. You can interview him for the mag, then he can go back. I think that's fair. I think that's a fair trade.
Is that a win? Win-win?
A win-win. It's a triple win. They're very rare triple wins. So, anyway, we'll move on. So, Liv Morgan beat Zoe Stark in an Elimination Chamber qualifier. Again, very obvious. And, you know, Morgan's just come back. So, it's a good spot for her to be in. And
Things don't look good for Zoe, do they?
No. I mean, but, you know, the thing is, in WrestleMania season, when you've got so much talent, you can only push so many people.
Yeah.
You know, it's been one of the things that I think has been tough for AEW. I actually thought that last week's two shows were really good, but I think overall what they've done sometimes is try and push too many people at one time, and then, you know, nobody really gets anywhere. But with WWE, it's like, you know, Liv Morgan's clearly on the B bracket of the women, and Zoe Stark is unfortunately on the D. So, anyway, so we then had JD McDonagh getting a win over R-Truth on the show. The comedy continues. I mean, I do wonder if this R-Truth stuff is going to keep the steam to WrestleMania, maybe, but I don't know. It's 50-50 to me whether it's going to stay hot enough to be on WrestleMania. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me like it's going to be Truth and Miz versus Balor and Priest at Mania. But you're right. I mean, there were cracks were appearing here, and Truth just didn't look that good in this match. And I'm not blaming JD for that, because I think he's really good in the ring. And Truth just seemed a little bit off.
Well, he's also for the most part, he's just a comedy guy, in the sense of he's not known for having these great matches. So, you know, maybe is it asking too much of him to be in a spot like this? I mean, I think the other thing that's a problem is The Miz is not at his best either. You know, the Miz has been better. I mean, obviously, obviously that horrible story about Maryse came out over the weekend that she's, you know, going for a hysterectomy following pre-cancer and stuff. You know, obviously we wish all the best to her and that she gets through that and is able to get rid of everything. But on screen, I think I'm hoping Miz can pull his weight a wee bit more in the team, because for there to be a believable moment at WrestleMania, then win the titles, they need to get a bit hotter than they are.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I've got to say that, you know, DIY ran in afterwards because, I mean, you know, JD scored the win here. Rare win for JD. And then afterwards, Judgment Day fought with R-Truth, and R-Truth was doing well against Balor and Dominic and JD until Damian Priest clobbered Truth. And then all of Judgment Day beat Truth down. And then DIY, they ran in with chairs for the save. So, I mean, that's a good spot for DIY, because they just lost the match, haven't they, to Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. The qualifier match. So Dunne and Tyler Bate will face Balor and Priest at Elimination Chamber. That happened on SmackDown, didn't it, Kenny?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was a good spot for DIY here. And we'll see how it goes. Another big segment on Raw was Becky Lynch coming out to talk about Elimination Chamber. She was interrupted by Nia Jax, who sort of says, you know, I know we've got our differences, but, you know. And then Nia Jax does this, like, obviously phony, sincere speech to
this, yeah,
to
disingenuous, wasn't it? She said, oh, no, if I ever become a mother, I hope I'm half the woman you are. You know, if my mother was, you know, half the mother you are, I'd be fortunate. And she was going on about this, and Becky Lynch wasn't buying any of it, was she?
Yeah, she was not in any way falling for this. And then, you know, and then Rhea Ripley came out and she went after them.
Well, Jax turned, didn't she? And she said, you know, she got serious and said nothing was going to stop her from beating Rhea Ripley at Elimination Chamber. And if Becky Lynch were to win the Elimination Chamber match and qualify for a title match at WrestleMania, she'd be facing Nia Jax, not Rhea.
Yeah, she went serious. And then as soon as she went serious, Rhea Ripley came out. She goes after Nia. hits her with a headbutt, and then they start fighting, and then Becky Lynch ends up hitting Nia Jax with a drop kick, and then, you know, we get Ripley and Lynch together, and Rhea sort of runs past Becky Lynch and knocks Nia off the apron with a boot, and Rhea's shouting to Nia Jax, "You're going to have to kill me." And I mean, they're setting this stuff up really well of, you know, Nia and Rhea at Elimination Chamber, and then the most obvious Elimination Chamber winner I think I've ever seen in any Elimination Chamber. They're not even trying to hide it. They're sort of going, here's the WrestleMania match. Becky's going to face whoever wins this other match. Oh, by the way, she is in a chamber, but it doesn't matter who's in it. She's winning it, folks.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah. I mean, it is a bit odd, isn't it? I mean, maybe they just sort of think, well, what's the point of even pretending that there's going to be any other outcome? And in some ways, their honesty is quite refreshing, Kenny. You know, at least not treating us like idiots or imbeciles or whatever. You know?
No, So very, very obvious. But the segment was really good. We also got LA Knight defeating Ivar. Ivar in a qualifier for the Elimination Chamber. So LA Knight's in there as well, which is good for him. And then we had a match set up from earlier on when Sami Zayn was moping about, interrupted by Shinsuke Nakamura. So we get Nakamura and Sami Zayn in the main event. They go about 17 minutes. Drew came out to do the distraction, which helped Nakamura win. And then afterwards, when, you know, the heels are kind of beating down Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes comes out to make the save. This was not their NXT TakeOver Dallas match, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I mean, this didn't scream to me. If you're watching Raw live and you're kind of lagging at the end, I just don't know if Sami Zayn and Shinsuke and Nakamura in 2024 is going to keep me around. But, you know, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm curious where the Sami Zayn thing is going to go. I do think that the Drew re-signing thing is going to affect it, because I feel like if he doesn't re-sign, Sammy's going to beat Drew at WrestleMania. But yeah, what did you think of the main event?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, Zayn right now, I mean, everyone, he keeps bringing it up, doesn't he? You know, he did that interview with Jackie Redman, you know, said that because he was speaking to her when Shinsuke Nakamura appeared on the big screen, and Zayn's feeling a bit like a loser because he can't win the matches anymore. And this time last year, you know, he was like as hot as he had ever been, and he was heading into the biggest match of his career against Roman Reigns in his hometown. So, I mean, it's that the that's playing into the storyline. I think that's really good. And that's all going to be fuel for Zayn when he does do the turn, which he desperately needs to do, by the way, because he's gone as far as he can as a babyface in this company. Everyone can see that. So, yeah, I mean, this match here with Nakamura, of course, they weren't going to have the match that they had back in 2016, because these two don't need to have matches like that anymore, because they've moved on 8 years in their lives and with their characters. And they don't need to kill themselves like that anymore, at least not in the main event of a TV show. I mean, yeah, Drew coming out, and then and Cody was there as well, wasn't he, at the end? Am I imagining
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, he because afterwards the heels were beating down Sammy and Cody came out to make the save.
Exactly, because we're going to get Cody Drew next week on Raw, aren't we?
Yes, so
which
yeah,
is massive. Next week's Raw is huge, isn't it, when you think about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Jay and Gunther, Cody and Drew.
I mean, this is big. This is big right after the, you know, Rock and Reigns on SmackDown. This is mega. You know, as you say, yeah, on the go-home Elimination Chamber. But it's also going to be, I think, telling that if Cody defeats Drew, and I'm sure he's not going too cleanly, because yeah, you know, Drew's obviously a big part of Elimination Chamber, and there's no way that Drew should be doing the job, even to Cody Rhodes, you know, 6 days before, you know, premium live event. So I think that's going to be a big episode next week. But all this, yeah, to me is signposting Zayn to, you know, to the heel locker room, because he's pretty much finished as a face. So, and I think he's going to end up saying, you know, because Cody was earlier in the show saying, well, I still believe in you and the fans still believe in you. And Zayn's going to just sort of say, well, you know, will you stop patronizing me? You know, I don't need your help type thing. I think that's going to be his grounds for turning when he does.
Yeah. Well, lots happening, lots going on. And, you know, before we know it, we'll get to Elimination Chamber, which is next weekend. So that there will be plenty to discuss, which is it's funny. So myself and my other half, we're away to Amsterdam that weekend. So hopefully I'll get a chance to see the show, because it's one of those rare shows that's on during the day for us. I think it's like...
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, with it being in Australia, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's like 10 a.m. UK time or something that it's on. Or, yeah, like something like that. So a rare early show. So, we'll be back on the Monday after that. We need to talk about it, because obviously when it's PLE, we like to come back a bit sooner, so you're not left for days wondering what we think about it. So...
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's all the time we've got for today. We'll be back. We're going to be back a little later this week because Finn's got some stuff going on in his house. So
I'm having some Veloxes fitted.
There you go.
So there's going to be lots of banging and hammering going on, and they're going to be right next to where I have all my computers set up and everything. So I'm afraid I can't record on Thursday, folks.
So we'll be recording on Saturday. So PowerSlam will go out on Saturday on Patreon, and Sunday on the main feed. The good thing about that is we can kind of, if anything big happens on SmackDown, we can give it a mention because we've seen it. So, yeah, so we'll be back for that on Saturday and Sunday on the main feed. So, yeah, just to give you an update on that. But there is stuff going up on Patreon every day anyway at patreon.com/insideropes. So we hope you check us out there. The pre-order for issue 43. Is it 43? I'm so
42.
Bad with numbers. 42 of Inside the Ropes magazine is now up for pre-order with big Cody Rhodes on the cover after his Royal Rumble victory. There's loads, so much in this issue. We've got an interview with Nick Aldis. We've got going to cover the Vince resigning in disgrace Netflix deal. So much stuff. So we hope you will check that out with us. And that's everything, I think. Also, if you're one of the few people who listens to us and has not yet purchased your PowerSlam 1994 yearbook, there is still limited copies left, so please do head over to powerslammagazine.com. My other half, Steve Gunn, was packing up new orders, a big stack of them from the last few days. So
fantastic. Well, thank you, everyone. Yeah, thank you, everyone, for ordering. Thank you, Mr. Gunn, for packing up those orders.
Exactly. Making sure they get to you I think we've said it so many copies. I think we only had one person who their copy had been damaged in the post and had the replacement copy out within a week. So
listen, they're wrapped in cotton wool, not literally, but figuratively, before they are sent out. And I can tell you here that we have chosen the cover star for the January to June 1995 yearbook, and I will be starting work on my introduction for that yearbook, if not next week, the week after. So we're working on it. We're not actually working on it yet, but within the next 2 weeks, I'll be hard at work on our next installment of the yearbook series. So you shouldn't have to wait that long for the January to June 1995 yearbook. We can only do 6 issues at a time in these yearbooks, because otherwise you'd just be too big and the spine will fail and it just won't work. So we will be, we're going to be working on it very soon, and we're going to try and get that yearbook out. I'm not going to tell you when, because I don't know exactly myself yet, but it won't be that much longer to wait.
The wheels are in motion, which is, which is good news. So, yeah, we will have that out. We're pretty confident first half of the year, so we're going to work towards making sure that happens. I don't even know who the cover star is yet, so this is news to me, everybody. I'm going to have to get the scoops from Finn when we get off this. But
haven't actually found a suitable photo yet. We have, found one photo, but it was a little bit too similar in the way the person was sat down to the Bret Hart cover. So even though the cover star is obviously not going to be Bret Hart, it was very similar in the way that it was, the lighting of it, the position of the picture. So it needs to be noticeably different. So, we've chosen who it's going to be. And I'm really looking forward to writing the intro. It's going to be, I think, 4 pages, the introduction to the next one. Sort of similar theme to the last one, but obviously twice as big.
Yes. So, lots to come this year. I'm also going to, this week, be going to see the Iron Claw. So by the time we record it the weekend, we'll be able to talk about that as well. And then our No Way Out review is going to be a little bit delayed as well. So that'll be early next week for the No Way Out 2004 retro review. But the Go Home Smackdown will be out either tomorrow or Thursday. So you will still have stuff to keep yourself busy.
Again, that is down to me and the damn Veluxes.
The thing is, look, if you've been waiting a while for this Velux,
year, they're raining in. I wouldn't have them done if I didn't need to. It's costing a lot of money, and what a mess it's going to make. But like, it's raining in, so what are you going to do?
You got to preserve Finn. So anyway, we'll know that I have Velux reports on Saturday. We'll keep it to a minimum, you know, and then we'll see if there's any grout chat to have as well. But we will. We hope you have a good week, whatever you're getting up to, and we'll look forward to chatting to you at the weekend. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Support comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business. Removing friction and frustration for your employees. Supercharging productivity for your developers. Providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.